So God wants me to just speak on a chapter and verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16. And so we know that we have the Holy Spirit. We know that Christ in us is the hope of glory. We know that Jesus is living on the inside of us. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And so, so it says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and that no man, should teach, but that we would be taught and trained by the Holy Spirit. But there's a misconception in the body of Christ that we do not need pastors, teachers, leaders, that the Holy Spirit, will equip us. And yes, He will equip us, but there is a perfecting of the saints. And God has raised up apostolic leaders and teachers and fathers of faith in the body of Christ to lead the body of Christ. And I implore you to listen and obey to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in this hour. And He spoke to me as I was in my bed, and He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and it says, "Wherefore I beseech you," Paul talking to the Corinthian church, "be ye followers of me." And at first I seen that, I said, oh, he's talking about Jesus, be a follower of Jesus. And I started digging into that and found out, no, he's not talking about following Jesus. He is talking about following him in the faith. And so in the verse before that, it says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And so he's taken it upon under the headship. He is under the headship of Jesus Christ. He goes forth in the name of Jesus, with the authority and power that Jesus has given him. He is going forth. He is going into the churches, and he is speaking what thus saith God. And so he is raising up, he is training up other people, and he's telling them, okay, I know who I am in Christ. God has given me this revelation. God has spoken this to my spirit. I know this, that I know this, that I know this. And now I am sending it and giving it to you. And you follow me. You follow the words of me, because what I speak, I do not speak on my own. What I say, I do not say on my own, but I say everything that Christ Jesus has given me to speak and to say to you. And so we have people in the body of Christ that are off doing their own little thing and saying, well, I don't need a man. I don't need a man to teach me. I don't need a man to follow. But let me tell you, they're not accurate in their teaching of this. And so in order to be subject to other people, we have to be subject to one another and to the apostolic authority that you have come under. And so he's coming in and he's exhorting them. He is also speaking words of maybe, you know, he's talking about, he's rebuking immorality here. He's commanding discipline in certain areas. And it says that it is reported commonly in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And so there's things going on in the church. There's sexual immorality, and he is rebuking that sin, and he is telling them, okay, this is not good. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn this brother over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. We're going to have to get him out, okay? Because purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so you see what happens is that you get these people, let's say in a church, and there's immorality, and there is no father, there is no apostle that is going to come in, because the body, the people in the church are, you know, they're kind of talking about it, and, oh, did you hear who's, you know, he's sleeping with, you know, his father's wife, which would be his mother. And so they're all joking about this like it's just something funny. And Paul comes in and rebukes this sin, and he kicks this individual out of the church, and so that it doesn't infect the whole body. Because you have to understand that your sin doesn't just affect you. You are a part of a body. You are a part of something greater than what you could even imagine. And what's happened is this sin has polluted the body. It has polluted other members. Your sin does not just affect you. Your sin affects the people who you are sinning with, family members, and generations down the line, because that sin breeds sin. Sin breeds after itself. Righteousness breeds after itself. Glory breeds after itself. Jesus breeds after himself. And so you got to know that sin is, that sin has to be cut out. And so that person is sent out now. The person was, they were received back into the church, and they were cleansed of their sin, and they repented for their sin, and they were able to come back into the church. And so we need the apostolic teachers and leaders and fathers of faith to lead us and guide us and say, look, I'm going in this direction. Christ has shown me the way. You want to follow me? I know where I'm headed. I have, at the end of his life, he said, I have kept the faith. I have been firm. I have been steady, and I have won the prize. And so he knew where he was going. He knew he was headed to heaven. He knew that his Father in heaven had the prize waiting for him, because he was even in the midst of the adversity, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of extreme persecution, Paul kept the faith. Paul kept the faith. He says, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight of faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so the thing is that we've got people that are just out there. And we have people that are claiming to be associated with a group of people, but have stepped out because of frustration, have stepped out and are now just scattered. And they're out there, you know, they're healing the sick, they're raising the dead, whatever it is, but they're not, you know, we are one spirit with God, with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. We know that. But there is also a community of believers. There is a community, there is a body of believers, and we are subject to one another. And we are subject to that body of believers. And if we're just out there on our own, we can just do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. If we get caught up and trapped up in sin, we don't have anybody that's going to come and say, okay, that's not right. God, you know, this is not what God wants. He doesn't want you in that sin. And there's no one to answer to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're just a rebel, okay? You're just a renegade, okay? You are out there. You're scattered, and you're scattering some seed, and you know you're scattering this seed. Yes, you may be scattering good seed. You may be scattering seeds of salvation, seeds of healing, seeds of deliverance. But you have to understand, you are scattered, and you need a body. And you need to start becoming one with that body. And if it's JGLM, whoever it is, and as a body, you are connected. You are strong. You are. You cannot be brought down if you are connected with this body. And I see people that have become disconnected with the body, and they're out there, and they're on their own, and they're not. They're not getting back with the leader, and they're not getting back with the body, and they're not reporting to the body, and it's dangerous when you get outside of that sphere of authority, because yes, you know, we are under the headship of Jesus Christ, but there is an order to God's church. God has placed an order in God's church, and there are apostolic men and women of God that he is raising up in this hour, and that we are subject to in his name. And so I have to go back and find the scripture where it talks about us being in subjection to one another. But we are in subjection to one another, and we become accountable for the things that we do, and there's an accountability there. Whereas if you are not joined to a body of believers, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, and wherever you want. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." Let's see. Okay. Every believer, let's go back to chapter 12, verse 12. Every believer is a member of Christ's body with a definite ministry. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? People leaving the church. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have come more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body or division, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Wow. So he is telling the church, we are in this together. If you want to leave because you feel like you don't belong in that body, you can leave. But you see, you're scattered. You're out there. You're doing your own thing. And we've got people out there that are doing their own thing. And God wants to bring the body together. In the end, you have to understand there's going to be this division, this whole thing with people saying, okay, we don't need to be in division. We need to come into unity. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ rules and reigns with us in eternity, the unity is going to be the Spirit of God that is driving the Holy Ghost, the Church of God that is truly born again, that is saved, that is sanctified, that is holy. He said that he was coming for a bride without spot nor wrinkle. Look at the church. The church is full of spots and wrinkles. He's coming for a pure, undefiled, holy church. And he's coming for those who are washed in the blood. And he's coming for a bride without wrinkle. And he's coming for the bride of Christ. And he's coming for a clean, cleaned up church. And he's coming because we're washed in the blood. And we didn't give in to the wiles of the enemy. And I'm telling you, these people that have left the church, that are going off and doing their own thing, are going into destruction. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because listen, they have let sin come in. They are not accountable to anyone. They are out there just doing their own thing. And God is saying, why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, and do not do as I have commanded you to do? And you're off on your own, and you have left that body of believers, and you are a sitting duck for the enemy, and you have created an atmosphere where you are, where you have isolated yourself from the body. And when you become isolated from the body, you become a target for the enemy. And the enemy comes in and he tries to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And you have no accountability. You can't go to someone and they cannot speak to you about the sin that you're in, because you don't want to confront that sin. And so you stay in that sin. And what happens is you go into deception. Because when you are in sin, I don't care if you're healing the sick or raising the dead, you are in deception. And deception is so easy to, it happens so easily, okay? And so we have to walk away from the deception, and we have to come under subjection to our leaders, to our pastors, and the apostolic headship that he has placed us under. And we are under the direction, of course, of the Holy Spirit. And we know that we're not going to follow. I'm not telling you to follow someone who is just out there, okay, that is telling you to do the wrong thing and is living this lifestyle of sin themselves. I'm not saying that. I'm saying find someone who is living this thing. Find someone who this is working. Find someone who the fruits of the Spirit are operating in. Find someone who is revealing Christ to the world. And join up. Join up. Team together with them. Join up with that vision, because there is strength and there is power in numbers. And what the enemy tries to do is come in and bring discord and bring dissensions, and oh, we don't believe this way, and you know, that's wrong, and this is wrong. No, if it validates scripture, and if it does not refute scriptures, then it is your duty to obey that word, because it is in scripture. Now I'm not saying, you know, there's ministries I know that are out there that are twisting and perverting the gospel, and are twisting things to say what they want it to say, but it never said that, okay? I'm discouraged with certain members and people in the body of Christ, because I'm discouraged because, you know, Jesus didn't just die for a select few group of people. And he didn't die, you know, because he just thought it was cute, you know, just to die. Okay, this death, do you realize that he died for your sickness and disease and your sins? I see this attack on the body of Christ, and I see people laying down. Jesus said he laid down his life. He laid down his life and he died for the sickness and disease. He died for your sin. And I see people laying down and allowing the enemy and them calling it God and allowing the enemy to bring this the sickness, the disease, and to discredit God's word over and over and over. And I see men and women of God who have been used mightily for the kingdom come under attack by the enemy and get taken out by the enemy. And I am so tired and sick of watching this happen. And this body here of believers understand because they have been taught and they have been trained and they have been equipped and they know it is not right. We are the ones who are here in the name of Jesus. We have authority, Luke 10:9, over all the works of darkness. We have all power and authority, Luke 10:19, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. And I'm tired of going into churches and people being just broke and sick and they're operating out of this discouragement, and the enemy is at work in their lives. And the enemy is the enemy is working overtime. So he's working, you know, he's working overtime to destroy people, and not just in sickness and disease, but destroy that body and get you separated from that body and get you to move off into a place where God doesn't even want you. And so you, what you do is you become isolated. You walk away from the body of Christ. Here you're isolated. You're over here and the enemy sees you and he says, oh, there's an easy target. Look, he's a sitting duck. Let's get him. And so you have no accountability. You have no apostolic leadership. You are on your own and you're scattering seeds, and they may be good seeds, but listen to me. What we can do as a body and in unity together is much greater than we can do on our own. But we think, you know, we've got it all figured out. And so we're just going to go and we're just going to do what God has called us to do. And we're not going to, you know, have to answer to anybody because we want to be self-made men. And let me tell you, being a part of a body that is synchronized, that is in sync, that is working together is a lot stronger of a unity than being all scattered and this one and this one and this one and this one. Okay, you need to have some sort of, there hasn't been any kind of there hasn't really been any kind of what I'm trying to say is, okay, we've done good things in the church. We've, you know, healed some people. We've set some people free. We have baptized some people in the Holy Spirit. We have set some people free from bondage and oppression. But I'm telling you, there needs to be a divine strategic going forth in this hour, in the end time hour. And I'm telling you, this is the end time. And, so there needs to be strategy and there needs to be, more collaboration. Okay. And there needs to be strategy. There needs to be, divine strategic, warfare. There needs to be people not just going into these places, healing the sick and raising the dead and leaving, but going into these places to absolutely change denominational thinking, to change religious mindsets. And we need people that are going to go into these regions that are going to begin to train up and raise up other leaders that are going to begin to give them the tools that they need to be set free so that they can set their neighbors free and so they can be free in Jesus' name. And there are strategies that we need to be doing as a body of believers, and we need to set forth those strategies, and we need to go forth in teams and with other members, and we need to be teaching this truth to the corporate body, and there needs to be a strategy behind this, and so you get a whole lot more done, and there's longer roots. There's greater root systems going on here, and so that's the thing. We need to begin to become strategic in our thinking and not just be so so far out there that we can't even be reached. And so we need to become one, become unified with the body and with that body of believers. And like I said before, when you see the vision, you see someone that is walking in the direction that God has called them to walk, then you begin to walk in that direction and see where God takes you in that direction. And it's a lot, it's going to be a lot better and to be walking, you know, with this body. I got distracted. I hate getting distracted. But that's what's important, you know. We need strategy. We haven't had much strategy in the church. We've had things come and go and fail and falter. But these are little, you know, these are going to be places where the Spirit of God is going to be upon these places where this dominion is going to be operating, and dominion is going to be operating as we train up leaders, and they're going to know their dominion, their authority, their power in Christ, and they're going to be unstoppable, immovable, and unshakable because they have not faltered, they have not left the body, and they are one, just as we are one in Christ Jesus.